Researchers concluded yesterday that 7 out of 10 zombies would rather eat brains than to use a Macintosh. Extra Live Radio.
Galstaff, you have entered the door to the north. You are now by yourself, standing in a dark room. The pungent stench of mildew emanates from the wet dungeon walls.
Where are the Cheetos?
They're right next to you.
I cast a spell.
Where's the Mountain Dew?
In the fridge, duh.
I want to cast a spell.
Can I have a Mountain Dew?
Yes, you can have a Mountain Dew. Just go get it.
I can cast any of these, right? On the list?
Yes, any of the first level ones.
I'm going to get a soda. Anyone want one? Hey, Graham, I'm not in the room, right?
What room?
I want to cast Magic Missile.
The room where he's casting all these spells from.
He hasn't cast anything yet.
I am, though, if you'd listen. I'm casting Magic Missile.
Why are you casting Magic Missile? There's nothing to attack here.
I'm attacking the darkness.
Fine. You attack the darkness. There's an elf in front of you.
Whoa!
That's me, right?
You're listening to Extra Life Radio. And now, Scott Johnson.
Hey, well, good evening, everybody. This is Scott Johnson of Extra Life Radio. I'm your host for the next foreseeable time, and we're glad to have you here. This is the Extra Life Radio panel show that we do every Tuesday. Actually, we're doing it Monday night so that you can have it first thing Tuesday morning. Or if you're up late, you can actually download it probably in the next hour and a half or so. Welcome to the Extra Life podcast. Hope everybody's doing good. Thanks to MindOnTheNet.com for helping sponsor the show. And a very big special thanks to you, the listeners, those who have subscribed lately and those who are continual subscribers from very early on. We would be nowhere without you. This is show number 36. Great merciful crap. I also want to mention something I keep forgetting to say, and that is that Extra Life Radio is part of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. The network has over 40, at last count, is it 40 or 30? Anywhere, somewhere near that, of technology shows, and you can find just about anything you like there. None of it is as cool as my show. Just kidding. They actually have some pretty good stuff. So check them out, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. If you'd like to join the fun in the show, email your written or audio comments to radio at myextralife.com. Or as usual, you can call the Beef Line, 206-350-BEEF. That's 206-350-BEEF. Today's topic, aren't you wondering what we're here for today? This is kind of cool. In January of 1974, a group of friends in a Wisconsin basement set out with a small box and three beige-colored books inside. It was the very first edition of Dungeons & Dragons, a brand new type of game without boards or set goals, in which all the action took place in the players' minds. The game sold well and sold well and sold well. Did so well, in fact, that it eventually became a worldwide phenomenon. 30 years later, that's right, 30 years later, that game continues to be popular. It also wields a profound cultural influence, especially when it comes to video games and the video game industry, which daily borrows elements from Dungeons & Dragons and even doesn't allow... What? Oh, even if it doesn't always realize it's doing so. Ah, what a fun topic. One I know so little about that I am more than happy and excited to introduce the following people who know a whole lot more than I do. Oh. The sound again, dude. Gives me the creeps. In the wilds of
we
the Ozark Mountains. let me introduce the panel today. It's just many of the usual faces and a little surprise. First of all, we have Andrew, who is hailing from the fine city of Daytona Beach, Florida, and is a D&D head through and through. Is that right?
I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, it's brand new to you. In fact, we've talked about it many times before, he and I, but we've never really brought it up on the show. He is a complete D&D freak. We may have mentioned it once or twice. But thanks to him, the intro you heard at the beginning of the show was provided by him. He found that for me. And we got lots of other good stuff that that he did a little research on, and I'm sure he's got a few surprises that I'm not even aware of. So, Andrew, thanks for being here.
No problem.
We have Obsidian, who hails from... Colombia. I almost said Bolivia. I don't know why. I mean, how many times have we done this show?
You love me. You really love me.
Yeah. You hear that? Oh, you got to pack and move.
Yeah, right to Bolivia. Yeah. It's not far.
Well, Scott orders. But thank you, Scott. It's great to be here. Yeah. And let's see what other cliche thing I can say.
You're a D&D freak too, aren't you?
Peace.
I mean, your whole comic book.
I call myself a D&D enthusiast.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah, freak is okay.
Enthusiast, okay. Your whole comic is based on... Basically, well, not entirely. It's based on you mostly, but it's a lot of it deals with you playing D&D. So I think we'll have an interesting time hearing your perspective on the game, especially because you live in a place that is experiencing the kind of revival—not revival, but the kind of excitement that the game hasn't had probably for 30 years. So I'm excited to hear your take on things. So welcome to the show, Obsidian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. I'm happy to be here.
Yes.
I'm very sexy, too.
Yes, you are. And Brian is some cartoonist, I'll tell you that. Oh, actually, that's his nickname. And that's
that gets old after a while. Yeah,
I know it does. I've only got a few more shows in me anyway. But Brian hails from South Carolina. Sorry. You don't want to be associated with those Northerners, do you? Those Yankees.
I don't know, man.
He is a fine cartoonist, does a comic called Pork and Bean, and joins us as often as possible. Last week he was a bit of a no-show because of some technical issues, but we're very glad to have you back. So, Brian, welcome.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. But we're still angry about last week.
Why?
I don't blame you.
Oh, because he was gone? I missed him horribly.
I haven't forgiven him.
What's funny is 2 days after it happened to Brian, it happened to me.
Yeah.
I lost my connection for like 6 hours.
Oh, good thing it's not
crazy,
tonight.
Man.
We need you to host this call. So
I lose my connection on a daily basis.
And last but certainly not least, joining us for the first time is Chris, who hails from Maryland.
Chris.
That's here in the U.S. He's like me and knows nothing about anything dealing with Dungeons & Dragons other than we know it exists, we understand its influence, we're both gamers, but we don't have this sort of omniscient sense of what the game means and why it's so influential. And so he's going to be like me. We're going to learn a little bit today. Brian, too,
yeah,
I guess.
I'm going to add a whole lot of value to this show.
Yeah. We want to say a quick sorry that Mike's not here. He had something going on tonight, for he has a social life, and we don't. So that's why he's not here. Yeah, that's true. He's got hookers. And who doesn't? I guess I don't. Let me
wipe around.
I have in my hand here a little bit of viewer mail. What the crap's wrong with me? Viewer mail.
Viewer mail. Yeah. You know, Scott knows about something he hasn't told us yet.
Yeah, here it is. Okay. This comes from, you remember Waldo from last week?
Yeah.
All right. Waldo says this. Hi, Scott.
Come on. Somebody say the joke. Come on. Where is he?
Where is Waldo?
This week?
Where's Waldo? That's my retard voice. Okay. Hi, Scott. I listened to the random show today and thought I'd let you know Waldo is, in fact, Adam. Okay. You guys remember Adam with all his beef calls? Apparently, that's the same guy.
Oh.
That's kind of his sense of humor, so it all makes sense now. He says he was going to send a beef call in for this group show, but it seems... He's saying it seems to be easier just to send it by email. So here's what he says. He just read something on IGN about how they're thinking about making a game based on the Doom movie. So this would be a game based on a movie that was originally based on a game. And the movie isn't even the same as the game and the stupid setting plot changes. So they're actually remaking another original game based on a lamer story from a movie based on a remake of another 10-year-old game. So he says, let's just cut out the middleman and stick our heads in the oven now. Interesting. I thought that was an interesting commentary. He goes on to say, I love Doom and he's a big time gamer and all this. That's interesting thoughts. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that, but that is kind of gay. If they're going to make a game based on Doom, that seems really dumb to me. Have you guys even heard of that? That's the first I've heard of it.
No, but that's actually happened before, hasn't it?
Well, with what game?
I'm trying to think here, Scott.
I know, it's a little confusing. Yeah. I can't think of one. I mean, Chris, have you even heard of this thing being made?
Idea so, in my head that it's happened before.
So we're trying to think of a game based on a movie where the movie is based on a game.
Oh, I know one.
Yeah, actually, Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. And they use that photo looking stuff. It wasn't like the cartoony sort of graphics of the old 2D. It was like Mortal Kombat kind of. Wasn't it?
Yep.
Am I thinking wrong? Okay.
You're not thinking wrong.
All right. Well, as far as I know, that's the only other time. Obsidian, did you think of your mystery one?
Well, has there been an Aliens versus Predator movie? Aliens versus Predator?
There's an Aliens versus Predator game, but it's old. It's a lot older than
the Alien versus Predator movie did not use any of the storyline from any of the games.
Yeah.
And the game is actually very good.
There were actually three of those, weren't there?
Yeah, there's three of the games.
Yeah.
I agree with Obsidian. I mean, if you count the two games and the expansion packs, there's technically four of them.
Yeah.
But I've played all four of them. They were all incredibly well done. I was very surprised.
Yeah. Well, I haven't.
They're a lot of fun.
I even enjoyed the old Jaguar game. I don't know if you guys ever played that. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, it was actually not bad, so it was pretty decent. Well, thanks, Waldo or Adam, or however you prefer to be called now. Here's a new one from Vlad. He says, "Listen to your podcast when I'm driving or when I'm drawing iHooky."
It's Dracula.
When he's drawing iHooky.
Isn't that Vlad from iHooky?
Oh, iHooky. Yeah. That's him. It's we know this guy. He's in Mexico,
Dracula.
Right?
Yeah. He's a webcomic artist from Mexico.
Yeah.
Called iHooky, which I declare to be basically the webcomic with the cutest characters on the web. But it's also pretty, it's pretty strong stuff, even though they're very cute.
Oh, well, sweet. I'm sure that's high praise. He'll love to hear this. My brain wasn't working. I knew this was the right guy, but the name wasn't jumping out. It's because I'm so surrounded by Mac crap that anything with an I in front of it, I'm like, I what? Anyway.
Well, you know who else uses Mac, Scott?
Who?
Satan.
Satan.
No, I know. He's the one that talked me into getting one. It says I'm drawing.
One hell of a deal, right?
Yeah, one hell of a deal. Nice one.
Yeah. The souls of your children in exchange for a stable Mac. Huh? Yeah,
there you go. They didn't seem to mind. Let's see. Listen to your podcast when I'm drawing iHooky. Has turned into a joyful experience. However, after listening to the 33rd podcast, I'm afraid that I should bring up some information for you. First and most importantly, I don't want to see Obsidian naked. I repeat,
naked. Naked.
He says, I repeat, it's very important. I do not want to see him naked. He says, after this, it's all good things.
That's Vlad's opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a pretty good opinion, I think. I think I'll support him in his opinion.
Actually, I have some sound files here from a girl that she thinks differently.
Really?
And I'm actually going to send them to you, Scott.
Okay, I'm going to try to get him into the show, so you better get on it. Let's see. No slow boating it from Colombia. We got to get it. It's the internet, you know.
He's going to, record them on cassette tape and pack them up and ship them over.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
I'm going to train a monkey to say them. But...
You guys just got unleaded gas in Temple of Doom there, right? Just kidding. Oh, that's an oldie bit of goodie. I think I told that joke the day we started these group shows.
He's gonna record them on tape, put them on the back of a monkey. The monkey's gonna deliver it to Molin Ram.
Yeah.
He's gonna come there with the three stones and give you your tape.
Bring back to us. Okay. That movie sucked. Well, of the three, it sucked.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
You know what sucked even more? It wasn't even done here in Colombia.
Oh, it wasn't? Wasn't it supposed to be in India? I thought it was supposed to be done in India or something.
I think they filmed it in Detroit.
Yeah. all right, let's see. It says, after this, all good things. I learned that I should not ink cartridge. What? I should not ink cartoons. Oh, cartoons listening to your show. Yesterday I was inking when Obsidian says that you were gay. I just can't control my laugh and I had to start over. So basically you just inked all over the place. The unused toilet seat issue. I got an unused toilet seat at home. At the house where I live, it's pretty old, and I've done some repairs. And due to procrastination, I haven't installed a new toilet seat, and the old one is still on the pooper. Anyway, thank you, Vlad, for that. Just love this feedback. Let's see. We got more. This one from... he says... my suggestion for the next podcast is... He wants to do this for a future show. Gaming going mainstream. I don't know if you guys talked about this yet, but if not, I think it would be a cool topic since the next-gen consoles are coming and Nintendo Revolution for the average guy and MS plans to get the non-gamer on the couch with the controller, etc., blah, 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 all that. And that's it later, RL. I think that's for... Oh, Radical Loser. Anyway, we'll have to consider that. Sounds like a decent topic, don't you guys think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how sick people get into the whole gaming conversation, but...
Well, I think one of the new titles that I remember reading about for the new Xbox 360 was Yarn Master 5000.
Oh, yeah.
You actually knit.
Yeah, I like that. In fact, that sounds like a real top seller
yeah,
to me.
You know, the thing is that if Nintendo brought out that game, they'd probably bring out a new controller. You know,
or they'd make out like two knitting needles that, as you move it, you move to the virtual needle. Yarn.
No, you get to use the bongos with it somehow. They'll make that so you don't have to buy something new. This is from Sam M. I don't know what M stands for. He says, "I really enjoy the show, and I think a great topic to talk about sometime would be your favorite bands." So that's something we could think about in the future. I don't know. We'll see.
Your favorite what?
Bands. B-A-N-D-S. You know, music.
Rubber. Oh, I understood something else.
Rubber bands? Elastic bands?
I understood your favorite man.
Oh, your favorite mans? Plural?
Like man?
Your favorite men. Oh. This guy says, this guy's name is Geschmack. Geschmack? Yeah. "I've been a faithful listener for a while. Great podcast, by the way. I write to you from Colombia. Listen to this.
Wow.
He says, I'm wondering if somebody, or see, if someday we might expect a D&D podcast. Hey, you're getting one today.
Oh, no, it's not very likely. It's not very likely.
Yeah, this is cool. It talks about some other things, but anyway, he says, please tell O to answer my emails or contact me with with commission prices.
That's what the message was really all about.
Yep. Thank you, Geschmack, for airing your dirty laundry right here on the show. that's funny.
Okay.
This one, the last thing.
Wait a minute. I got to do some justice here. Actually, I am answering your email. It just takes a while, okay?
Oh, you are going to? Okay. Well, you heard it here first,
actually,
folks.
I have it in my draft. He's, if I'm not mistaken, he's actually from Bogota, which is our nation's capital. Not that any of you care.
Yeah. I don't, but.
I mean, just to show that I actually did read the email and I do care because I'm a kind and loving person.
And, what kind of dirt does this guy have on you?
And, well, the evil person here is Scott. He uses a Mac.
Yeah, I am the evil one.
Listen to him.
I am the evil one. Evil! Okay, well, hold on. I got one more. I got this one from Joel. Joel says, he's been listening since podcast one, and it's your show that got me into podcasts. Well, thank you, Joel. That's always good to hear. He especially digs the new group format and just listened to episode 31. He has an observation to make. He wants to know if I was in some sort of tragic accident as a kid that damaged the part of my brain that creates similes. And I replied back, I actually damaged the part of my brain that misreads the word similes and thinks it says smileys. Actually, I did do that because I swear it said smileys. I'm thinking, that creates smileys? He says, at least once per episode, you start a smiley and then you abort it partway through. I'm thinking, I do a smiley? What is he talking about? Well, it turns out he's talking about similes. My question is, do I really do that? Do I start like a...
I'm not usually listening.
Do I start? Yeah, I know. But I start like a metaphor, he thinks, and then I don't ever finish it. Do I do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, busted.
Yeah.
Somewhere it ends up with a crap.
He's right. All right, Joel, I'll give you that one, dude. It's not a smiley either. All right, that does it for listener mail. Thanks everybody for sending those in. Make sure you keep doing that. Radio@myextralife.com. We totally appreciate the feedback. Let's get on to the big topic, Dungeons and Dragons. Let me tell you a quick history about me. I have very little experience with it. I played it once or twice as a teenager, enjoyed it as I can remember, but didn't play it a whole lot more than that. As you heard in the opening segment, it's 30 years old. I was 5 when the thing came out. Most of you here on the show were, Chris is close to my age, so some of you guys were still just lustful thoughts at that point. Brian, you're old enough, but Brian, have you ever played?
Well, yeah, I used to play a lot.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I was a
teenager and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, see, I haven't even talked to you, so good. We've got three experts, and then Chris and I are the only tards.
I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I played it quite a bit.
All right. Well, tell us, tell me before we go to Andrew and Obsidian, who are the real experts here, tell us a little bit about your experience. Was it influential for you? What did, you know,
Really helps you creatively. I mean, that was the thing that always attracted me to it was, you know, it's you got to use your brain. You got to use your creativity.
So it's all imagination stuff.
Yeah. So it really appealed to me, and I think it really helped my imagination a lot too.
Did you have a hard time with people giving you a hard time about it? Like, you know, because generally society was relatively against this thing, and I think I didn't really start up till it became relatively successful. But did you catch a lot of flack for that?
Not really. My mom wasn't too happy about it because, you know, but she was suspicious of everything. You know, everything has some kind of satanic overtone.
Yeah.
But, most of the kids, you're not supposed to do that either because you go blind. That's right.
So, but, I mean,
know,
it was,
most
to
of
me,
the kids that we hung out with were okay with it. No one really thought it was, like, you know, devilish or anything. It just was having fun.
Well, speaking of similes, it reminds me of... just here recently, the whole stupid Harry Potter thing where people, you know, this happens every time a book comes out or a movie comes out, but somebody's saying, oh, it's satanic, it's this, is that, it's leading our kids to hell, whatever. And it reminds me of that whole thing. It's interesting that not even more than a couple of times, but what I've heard is J.K. Rowling has actually given some credit to the whole D&D universe as part of her inspiration. She's got lots of places where she gives the inspiration. She says that J.R.R. Tolkien's books were very influential for her and other things. And so anyway, the point is, anytime there's fantasy, let me bring it back to the square one here. I'm just telling any parents that listen to this show, anytime there's a wizard or a barbarian with a big axe or a ring that gives you powers, don't automatically assume your kids are going to hell.
They're not going to hell yet.
Yeah. They'll find their own way, dude. Yeah. They'll find their own way. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
Johnson will send them to hell.
Slowly. Okay, so Andrew, let's talk to you for a second. You've been playing how long?
What's funny is I never really got into D&D until I was like 18 or 19. I mean, I had friends that played it when they were younger, but I was just like, I don't know. You know, you hear all the things about, you know, you play D&D and you end up killing chickens and stuff like that. So, I mean, I never really got into it until I was older, actually. But, I mean, it just like Brian says, it makes you creative. I mean, a lot of the short stories I write based on my characters from when I used to play D&D or other pen and paper role playing games, and even my characters from World of Warcraft, all those short stories are based on when I would play D&D and have to think up the background of my character and stuff.
So it
definitely helps with creativity. And some of the research that I did, I looked into people that play games like Robin Williams. He doesn't necessarily play D&D, but apparently he is a huge Warhammer fan.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He plays the Warhammer board games with the miniatures, and of course Vin Diesel is the big D&D guy. He in a recent interview actually said that it was because of him playing D&D that got him into want to do the whole acting.
Really?
Because he sees it as a real version of D&D, because he gets to play all these different characters. And in fact, he actually said in a recent interview that him and some of his friends, they actually still play D&D at least once a week.
Wow. Who does he play with? Do we know that?
No.
Just old buddies?
It's probably friends that he grew up with that used to all play it together and stuff.
Well, I have Diesel, he probably plays a halfling, but...
He probably does.
But, I mean, I've played all kinds. I started out with D&D, but I played all kinds of other typical pen and paper role-playing games.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what... I mean, I went from that... And then they came out with the actual old D&D Gold Box series on the old Commodore 64 and the Amiga back in the day.
Yeah.
And that got me into playing the computer versions of RPGs. Because up until then, I had my Atari 2600, but I really never bothered playing computer games at all.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, let me just say that when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the effect that D&D has had on video games specifically, because this is an area that I think Chris and I can speak to. We're definitely recipients of the direct inspiration. Someone's microphone's being rolled up into a ball. That was weird.
We take breaks now?
Yeah, because I got commercials, man. I got stuff. I got stuff to play. But don't worry. For you, it'll be a split second. For the listener, it'll be about 30 seconds. So we'll be right back, everybody. Just hang in there for us. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about D&D. You are listening to Extra Life Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey there, my Extra Life listeners. This is Clinton Allvord from Comedy Forecast. I'd like to say that Dean Cain listens to my show, but, well, I don't really know that for sure. However, if you'd like to check it out, I'd appreciate it. It's a comedy podcast in 4 minutes or less. You can check it out at www.comedy4cast.com. Well, that's it. We're done, 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 done. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We were just talking about Dungeons & Dragons, just talking to Andrew about his experience with the game and how we all got sort of started on it. Let's talk quickly. What?
It scarred me for life.
Oh, it did scar you for life. In fact, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for D&D, which is a big, fat, unholy scar in its own right. let's talk about the influence that gaming has had, or excuse me, that D&D has had on gaming. Andrew, you're a big role-playing fan in general, whatever the game may be, and
yep.
Your current addiction, which is World of Warcraft, is...
Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's highly, highly inspired, like all these games are.
It's digital heroin.
It really is, isn't it? But it's inspired by the stuff we're talking about. In what ways specifically do you think games like World of Warcraft or EverQuest or these other games, in what ways are they specifically taking advantage of that inspiration?
The main thing I could say, more so than the fantasy, because if you notice, most MMOs are all fantasy-based.
Yeah, most of them.
It's the social aspect. The fact that, I mean, I like the fact that they made it where in Warcraft, your parties have to be small. Because usually in a typical game of D&D, your party is usually, you know, four, maybe six. No bigger than that.
Yeah.
Usually it's always a small group, and I think almost all the MMOs, that's what they play on. The whole idea of you and like four of your buddies going and doing like an instance in Warcraft, which is like doing a stereotypical dungeon crawl, is awesome.
Yeah. Well, so that group dynamic, though, is that what it's like in a real D&D game? I mean, do you feel that same sense of, okay, you need to do this and you need to do that, and if we all do our part, we're going to succeed?
Well, yeah, you. It's not as dynamic because, like, in a normal D&D game, since it is all based on creativity and your imagination, you can think up more stuff. Like, there's things that you might think up, like, in WoW, like, I wish I could go and do this, but you can't because you're confined by the programming of the game.
Yeah.
In a pen and paper one, like, if someone came up with a neat idea to try. Like, once in a game long ago, the thief in the group listened and found out this room was full of goblins. Well, I was playing a mage, because normally when I play D&D, I play caster classes.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to do. Well, I had a cloak that was, it was like magically protected against flame. Like, you could set it on fire and I wouldn't get hurt inside the cloak. So our basic idea of catching everyone off guard in the room so the warriors can fight them was to light me on fire and I would run into the room screaming, even though I'm not getting hurt.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
So it's like we did it and it worked. I mean, the GM, you know, set everything up and we pulled it off. See, something like that you can't really do in a normal computer game because there is constraints.
So that spontaneity of the sort of that team dynamic where you had to come up with some totally creative, unorthodox way of handling the problem. You can't do that in World of Warcraft or in any other role-playing game for that matter.
Yeah, the only computer version of a RPG that really could let you do that is when you would play Neverwinter Nights on a server with a live GM.
Yeah. Which, by the way, leads us right to what I want to talk to Chris about. Now, not too many years ago, Chris and I were really big into this whole Neverwinter Nights thing, and we started work on an unfinished project that I really thought had feet, and we just have schedules from crap, so it was hard to finish it. But what did we call that? Do you remember what we called that?
Nope.
I don't either.
I have absolutely no idea, but we put together a bunch of locations and a whole lot of non-player characters, and and started compiling quests, and it pretty much died right there. You know, there were, I remember you were working on coding a town crier to yeah. be able to sort of hand out quests to people. You know, people would just voluntarily walk up to this guy and gather quests, and
yeah.
it'd be based on what their level was and class and all sorts of things like that. But that's pretty much as far as it went.
Yeah,
it
started,
is that what you mentioned to me on my blog?
That's actually, you know, that I don't even know where those files are, but I've done a few other modules. I did one for my daughter, where just so that she could run around as a princess, and made her character have a dress like one that she has, and she loved it. But I've done a few other things, and I have a lot of fun making the frameworks for these games and the locations and things like that, but I have absolutely no creativity when it comes to storytelling. So,
well, the tools that shipped with that game were pretty incredible, and I remember Chris focused mainly on some of the architecture, the layouts of the cities, the different areas where there'd be instanced or random battles, things like that. And it was a pretty, you know, breathing sort of living world, I thought. And, you know, I wish we'd had the time to do what we wanted to do with it, because it really, really had feet. So to say we haven't had any experience with Dungeons & Dragons isn't necessarily true. We've had a very distant cousin of D&D to play with, and we had a blast with it. And, of course, it played by the D&D rules, third edition, whatever it was then.
Besides, you're familiar with the different aspects of D&D. I mean, if I tell you... you know, you've got a low dexterity, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Now, sure. Obsidian, let's jump to you real quick. You played. You still play now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so it's not like something in the past. Your comic a lot of times deals with scenarios in D&D and obviously is inspired by it. But a lot of people don't know this. You do a lot of commissioned work on the side for fantasy art that is very, very, in my opinion, D&D inspired. Who is that artist that you told me about not too long ago that became famous doing some of the original artwork back in the day? What was his name?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, the thing on the side is actually the webcomic. The fantasy art is actually the main job.
Right. No. I know that.
And, okay, now, well, my favorite D&D artist is called Tony DiTerlisi. He did all the original artwork for Planescape.
That's the guy. That's the one you mentioned to me. He did the artwork for Planescape. Wasn't there, but somebody, well, maybe it was that. Maybe that's the only guy I'm thinking of. But somebody was telling me about how influential some original artist guy was.
What's his name does artwork too? Elmore.
Oh, there's, yeah.
Well, you got a bunch of people. You got Easley.
Yep.
I mean, Easley was like the main D&D artist back when... back in the early 90s and I think late 80s.
Yeah. I just like seeing those D&D pictures of the women with the nice big boobs. I'm not going to offend any women out here. I don't care who the artist is.
Both hands on the keyboard.
Forget who drew it. As long as he drew it, Chris is good.
Just show me the pictures.
Yeah, well, I'm just a big fan of that cool fantasy art. I love stuff like that. But so Obsidian, when you play, tell us about your sessions. What do you normally do? What's your role? Oh, it's the phone. Okay, my brother-in-law hates that I take these.
I love them. I love them.
I think it's my wife. Hang on. Here we go. Hello.
Hey.
Joe? Yeah, I'm doing it now. What are you doing?
Am I on there?
Yeah, of course you are, because you're talking.
What are you doing? Hey, tell Taylor to come over. They're playing DDR.
Oh, they're playing DDR on the Xbox?
Yep.
Okay, good time. Sorry, I didn't answer your call before. I was right in the middle of doing a show, and you know this is more important than anything. Yeah, all right.
See you later.
Okay, bye. All right, that was my wife. Sorry about that. Okay.
I'm willing to bet that you said that the show was more important than anything, and she had already hung up.
I know, dude.
Yep. Scott will be sleeping on the couch tonight.
She's so full of my... She's so sick of my crap, seriously. She's like, okay, honey, whatever. I got to go. So Obsidian, what's your role when you play? What do you do? Are you the dungeon master?
Okay,
or are you...
I have been a dungeon master for 15 years now.
Wow.
Whoa. So in your comics, I see you behind the card thing all the time.
I'm always the dungeon master.
Okay, that's cool. Do you like
control
that? Do you prefer to play that way?
Control freak.
Well, you see, here's the thing, okay? Here's how I became a dungeon master, which is a completely uninteresting story, but I'm going to tell that anyway.
Nerd. Go ahead. Did I say something?
At least I don't use a Mac.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Fair enough.
Okay. Now, you see, I first played role-playing games. My first contact with role-playing games was actually E.T. I'm going to explain, okay?
Yeah. Oh, they're playing D&D in E.T., I remember.
Exactly,
that.
Exactly. That was the first time in my life when I heard about the existence of Dungeons & Dragons, when they were playing E.T. I remember that somebody uses a portable hole there.
So was this like 94, 95? Just kidding.
No. This was maybe...
When did E.T. come out?
No, it was a joke about how they get everything late.
Or something? It was like 88.
No, but I wasn't actually watching the movie. I was reading the book.
Yeah, but I was making a joke about how you get everything late down there, but everyone missed my joke.
Scott, that is a fantastic joke.
I know.
Yeah, Scott, you know, I actually plan to laugh a lot when the podcast is over.
You're saving up. All right, sorry, continue.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm reading the book, and that's the first time I know about D&D. And a while later, I go with some friends from school to a book fair they had here. And at the book fair, some people had put up a stand that they had brought books from, you know, way over in the United States. They had brought some D&D books. So we actually pooled our money, and we bought our first D&D book. We bought the basic box, and I was the only one who could DM because I was the only one that knew English.
Oh, check that out.
That's awesome.
Because so nobody could read, else could
so
DM. Because
did
nobody,
you have to translate? Is that what it came down to? You had to translate what was in the books?
No, I didn't translate what was in the books. Come on, man. It was like 10.
I thought that was a good question.
This is what it says.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, I just read the books. I read the rules. Therefore, I was the only one that could be the dungeon master.
Okay.
So I explained the game to my friends.
Yeah. And then you made up your own rules.
It wasn't like... Yeah.
And ever since, I've been the DM. The people I play with, most of them, I mean, some of them are the same people, others are new. Most of them know English. Maybe they can't speak it very well. Maybe one of them can't read it too well. But, I mean, they understand. I mean, they understand enough for me not to be able to cheat on them.
Huh. Well, you're...
But I'm still the DM. I mean, I stayed a DM, and I've been a DM for 15 years, and, well...
It's just your role, and you're happy to take it.
Well, yeah, I've only played... here's something that surprises most people. I've only played as an actual player once in my whole life.
Wow.
Only played once.
So, the DM role, are you basically creating everything from scratch right there? Are you creating the locations and, you know, the setting in general? Or is there some sort of framework that you're working off of?
Well, it depends a lot on how you play, actually. For example, our first games... we took out from the book. You know, the book has some sample games. Our second games, we actually bought a module that was, I think it was actually written by that guy that's independent now, and I forgot his name, so I'm probably sounding like an idiot that doesn't know
Gygax.
What I'm talking about.
Gary Gygax?
I won't know.
No. Monte Cook.
Oh.
Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
he wrote
not.
Tons of D&D modules.
Dude, he was in Airwolf, but go ahead.
Okay. So we actually played a module by Monte Cook, and after we played that module by Monte Cook, what happened was we didn't actually have the money to buy any more modules, and more importantly, even if we had the money, we didn't have any place to buy any more modules.
Well, what's in a module? Now, does that give you your
location?
Well,
no. I mean, for example, it gives you the map. It gives you the people. It gives you all the characters. It gives you all the stats, the monsters, the adventures.
It gives you, like,
everything.
An outline, a basic outline. I mean, you still have to create on your own, and I agree. Like, when I never ran D&D, I connected more with another pen and paper role-playing game called Call of Cthulhu. It's set in the 1920s and 30s, and it's horror. It's a horror role-playing game. And I did, the first time I ran a Call of Cthulhu game, was the first my experience ever running a game. And I used a basic module, But after that, since the module only really gives you a basic framework like maps and stuff, just like Obsidian says, I found it more enjoyable to have full creative reign. I mean, I still in my closet have like the complete scripts, because when I created a game, instead of just doing a basic outline, I actually wrote an entire like movie script style of dialogue with my NPCs.
Wow, how is that? How you now pronounce that game?
Huh?
Say it again. Say that.
Oh, Call of Cthulhu. It's made by Chaosium.
Yeah, and these guys,
and
they're doing
it's horror based.
They've got a first person shooter coming out,
don't
they?
Who listening to this podcast doesn't know who Cthulhu is?
No, I know what it is. I just have never been able to say it. I see it on paper and go, "What the crap is that?" It looks like
a
disease.
Yeah, I mean,
now, what you were saying about scripting things, that's actually what I was kind of I kind of got that idea from your blog that you did that, and that's where I was thinking that, you know, you'd probably be really good at putting together a lot of the stuff that I couldn't possibly do in something like Neverwinter Nights.
Well, see,
love is in the air.
Well, see, when I went, it was also my experience. The people that ran the games that I played in, they went all out. I mean, they actually had background music that would play on a CD player in the background.
Wow.
And stuff like that. So you really got into playing your characters. Well, I did that, but
I suppose everybody did.
Did you have your own theme music?
Well, I didn't have like theme music, but like when I ran Call of Cthulhu, that's Obsidian's theme music actually. When I ran Call of Cthulhu, I had music from like horror movies, like the soundtrack from In the Mouth of Madness and stuff like that, that I would play in the background at certain parts of the game, and the people that played in my horror campaigns loved it because certain reoccurring monsters had certain music, like in movies. So when you would start hearing the music slowly and quietly in the background, they would be like, they would start getting nervous because they knew something was coming.
You guys
and
are
stuff
hardcore,
like that.
Man. Holy crap.
What?
You guys are total hardcores.
But, I mean, I still have in my closet, I have these huge, like, full legal pads of scripts. Because I would write dialogue, a general dialogue, but then off to the side I would write small chunks of dialogue in case someone might ask this, or a player might ask this, and
Jeez.
Stuff like that.
You know what? It makes me wonder why parents were so worried about this. This is one of the only ways to get your kids really thinking.
The explanation to that is pretty simple. I wanted to add that actually my players have. I use soundtrack for the game. I use I use music for this, music for that, special music for battle, special music for when you're in a spooky situation. Special music for when you're in the tavern, stuff like that.
It just adds a whole new level.
Yeah, it's awesome. But my players actually went all the way that they have their own soundtracks. For example, I had a sorcerer that every time he would do a very special spell that he was very fond of, we would have to play a song. I mean, that was the song that went with that spell.
So your group is like, all right, everybody, hang on.
Let me get my jingle.
Stupid
yeah.
spell.
And
Ted's,
you might
Ted's
have noticed,
cast the magic missile.
Yeah, okay, here goes. You might have noticed from my webcomic, if you've ever read it, that to
you
me
have a
Dungeons and imagine that. That to me Dungeons and Dragons is not only something, you know, a very fun experience and all that stuff, but to me it's actually one of the moments in my week or whenever it is that I play, that I laugh the most. I mean, we get a ton of laughs from it.
Yeah.
So we'd actually have also funny soundtracks. For example, we were once playing with this werebear. I mean, a guy, you know, a guy that turns into a bear. And, I mean, he was all big and tough, so he would become like this big, muscular, hairy dude. So we'd play Macho Man by the village people.
All right, hold on. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Dungeons & Dragons. I have some very specific questions that many of you who aren't playing are dying to know. And we'll do that here in a minute. Again, you're listening to Extra Life Radio. We'll be right back.
Doctor, doctor, you gotta help me. I got voices in my head.
Actually, Mr. Beasley, you're wearing an iPod and listening to the Low Value Podcast. The folks at LowValue.com care about quality entertainment. Their website includes music, a podcast, amusing short films, and other things. They also host the webcomic RockstarsComic.com. No, Mr. Beasley, you're not hearing voices in your head. You're hearing pure entertainment.
All right, Doctor, thank you. I feel much better.
LOWEVALU.com.
LowValue.com is for external use only. If you experience an itching, burning sensation, please consult a physician.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Extra Life Radio. We are talking with the group today about Dungeons and Dragons. And I have a few questions I think would be interesting to hear answers to, stuff I didn't know. Obsidian, let's start with you, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
How long does an average session take? When you sit down to play this thing, how long does that thing take?
Well, Scott, sessions can take as long as you want them to take, but in my opinion, any session that's less than 3 or 4 hours is really not worth playing. Anyhow, my sessions take normally 9, 8, 9, maybe 10 hours. That's a normal session.
Wow. Can they extend into multiple days, or is this something you usually try to do in one sitting?
I've played for several days on end. I've played, the maximum I've ever played is 3 days.
Wow.
Jesus.
Straight?
Oh, well, we stopped for a little sleep and food.
Dude, you're living the life.
That was it.
I couldn't do that if I wanted.
The longest campaign I ever played in, and I wasn't running it, a friend of mine ran Earth Dawn campaign. And it was a bunch of us that all worked in the same general area. We would all play. We would play every Saturday, and each session was kind of like what Obsidian said. Each session would run anywhere from 6 to 10 hours, and we played every Saturday for 3 months. And
wow.
That was the entire game. I mean, he had it pre-written out to like wrap up with the ending, you know, to wrap up the whole story and everything. And it was a shame because when it ended, we enjoyed it so much and looked forward to it every Saturday that we didn't want to stop.
Yeah,
but it was like it was pre-written that, you know, kind of like a TV series. It's pre-set up that, you know, it's going to end in season so-and-so and that kind of thing.
Well, about the longest I ever did anything with any kind of game, I think, was about a 10-hour straight session of playing Street Fighter II with my brother-in-law.
You maniac.
That was good times. But we didn't role-play there.
I mean, of course, we can't pull that off anymore. I mean, we got jobs. We got, you know...
We got stuff to do,
Yeah, you have stuff to do. I mean, we pulled that off, you know, back when you were studying and you had vacations in which you'd spent, like, a couple of months doing nothing.
Chris, what were you going to say?
I don't remember.
You're good that way. He's got the memory of a flea. I'm just teasing. If you remember again, just pop in. Feel free to just jump right back in.
Sure, no, actually, it was something about my longest session playing a game, but it's really not that interesting. So I just as
but
soon
by
say that
saying
I forgot.
That, we want to know now.
Yeah, see, now
that's
we want
never
to know.
Stopped us.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you know, I mean, it,
true.
Well, I guess
it's like 6 hours.
I've got another good question. This one, Andrew, will throw
six
this one
hours?
To you. 6 hours? Yeah,
6 hours.
6 hours
of Tetris?
Oh, man. That's bad. Talk about something bad for you. Your parents should have been complaining about that. Holy crap. Let's see.
You know, I dreamt about Tetris for a while.
Really?
Yeah, like you start seeing those patterns in your head.
Falling blocks in your dreams.
You start stacking your furniture in your house.
Oh, yeah, dude. All right, here's a good question, Andrew. You answer this one. Is there a happy number, a level of people that should play the game? Meaning, when is there not enough people or when is there too many?
I would say, I mean, you usually don't count the GM in the number because I've seen people that have tried to play a D&D game where it's just the GM and you.
Yeah,
and I've even tried it before, and it just seems kind of goofy or whatever. But I would have to say, as long as you have, I would say at least three to six, and that's not including the GM. So if it's six people playing, you got GM makes it seven.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but at least 3 to 6. Anything less than that, and you're bordering on, you know, a creepy cult.
Yeah.
I got a stupid story for that.
Go ahead.
I was DMing Shadowrun. For those of you who do not know Shadowrun is a game that was extremely popular. It was very successful, but unfortunately, the company that had it, I don't know what happened. blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, lost its former glory, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Shadowrun is a cyberpunk game. It's in the future. You know, you got all these cyber implants, a lot of guns, people that are half robot, half man. You got magic. You got the works. And I always used to play with basically the same two or three people. Once we decided to invite my cousin, any of you who read the webcomic, we decided to invite my cousin Al to play. And he brought over his girlfriend, which brought over her sister, which brought over her boyfriend, and they brought over a couple of friends, which decided to bring over their friends, and in the end I was GMing a Shadowrun game of about 14 or 15 people.
Holy crap.
So I was just sitting here, like, in my room where I always roleplay, which I like to call the Rolodrome, which I admit now that I just heard myself as stupid. But okay, anyway. I was sitting here, like, in my living room, and I'm looking at these 14 people, or 15, and I'm just thinking to myself, damn it, there is no way I can GM this game.
I've been in a game big like that, and I've had, being as a player, I know how Obsidian feels, because just being a player, I'm like, we got way too many people here.
Yeah. So yeah, how did it turn out? What happened?
The game was going to be impossible. The game was going to be impossible because, I mean, you know, it's all turn-based, so just imagine you're playing one of your video games, you know, and that you have 14 characters on your team, and you have to wait your turn to act. It gets a little bit tiresome.
Yeah.
So
you can't really go real time with that either.
Yeah. I mean, that's just standing there, like, thinking what I'm going to do. And yeah. Bate, for those of you who read the webcomic, he's the guy that always plays with me. He comes up to me. he sets me aside from the rest of the people, and he says, "Hey, yo, want me to kill them?" So the other guy that would play with us back then, his name was David, he came up and they had actually talked about it, and they told me, yeah, you know, there's like 14, 15 people here. We can kill them. I mean, it will still be role-playing, and we'll just kill them.
Yeah,
so
get them out of there.
So they set up this whole thing in which they were basically going to backstab them all, and in the whole afternoon that we played, these two players actually murdered all the other 14 people.
Jeez.
That's great.
That's one way to deal with it.
Yeah, but the fun thing was that they always would make it look like an accident. For example, they'd go out in the middle of the night with their rifle, and the other guy would be standing like a few feet away, and they'd shoot him. And he'd go like, "Why you guys shoot me?" And they'd be, you know, "It was dark. We didn't see you. But you have night vision cyber implanted in your eyes." "Well, I'm sorry, man. I didn't have it turned on."
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great story. Well, on
and
that,
this was the whole night.
Oh, see, that's a long, long time, dude. I don't think I could do anything like that now. But let me just say, we're at the end of the show. Ooh, we've gone 50-something minutes. Let me say real quick that D&D, in my opinion, is probably one of those things that will always be looked back on as one of the most influential things in pop culture. And I've learned a lot from this whole conversation. And if anything, it reminded me of how much I enjoyed things like Neverwinter Nights and other video games based on the property, and how much I appreciated them at the time I played it. You guys are obviously nuts and total freaks and nerds, and that's helped having you here.
Before we sign off...
Oh, yeah, I almost blew it.
I did a little research, and I just, from reading this, I've tied it into three ways now. Okay.
What was that?
An actor named...
Perked Chris right up, dude.
They made a really horrible... They made a really horrible movie about D&D. I don't think there's anyone on the planet that really liked that film at all.
Was who, Dean Cain in
wait,
it?
Now, hold on. Who was in the movie?
Well, one of the main character in the movie, his name's Justin Whalen. Well, yeah. At the same time that he was filming the D&D movie, which this was probably a bad sign to begin with, he was filming another movie called Final Encounter, which starred him and Dean Cain. Now, with him and Dean Cain, it's a science fiction movie in a war-torn Earth,
yeah.
And the capital, the last remaining city on the planet Earth, is the city of Obsidian.
Oh, my gosh.
And So basically, at the same time he was doing D&D, he was doing this film with Dean Cain.
And he was living in Obsidian.
Yeah.
How are we going to top that, dude? Seriously.
I don't know.
It'll be a letdown next week. We'll try to come up with a Dean Cain connection.
Man, you get a biscuit. You get a biscuit.
That's awesome.
But, actually, before the podcast is over, I want, especially to you, Scott, and to the other person in this podcast that has not played, and to everybody who's listening, I'm sounding very serious now, ain't I?
Yes. We're all rapt attention. We're ready to go. What do you have for us?
You're very impressed.
Yes.
So now that you're impressed, I want to basically suggest or recommend to everybody that is listening and likes games and likes this whole thing that we deal with, I suggest that you try it out. There's basically a role-playing game for every single taste there is. I mean, if you like horror games, there's role-playing games based on horror. If you like futurism, there's futuristic role-playing games. There's basically something for every taste. Get some friends together. Turn off the television. You know, order a pizza. Play some tabletop role-playing games. Just try it out. I assure you, if you like this kind of stuff, you're not going to be disappointed. It's basically where it all comes from. And it's one of the most interesting experiences you can have.
Okay,
and
now
it's a great social game, too.
Tell me quickly, both of you.
I wouldn't play it every week for 15 years if it wasn't good.
Yeah, well, tell me just quickly here, without too much explanation, tell me what give me a good science fiction one. What's a good one?
Shadowrun.
Shadowrun's good?
Yeah, Shadowrun's the best.
Is that still the best one to play?
Yeah, that's one of my favorites when it comes to science fiction.
Okay, and how about just good old-fashioned fantasy? Are we still talking just regular D&D is best?
D&D, yeah. D&D is good for fantasy.
Yeah, D&D is the way to go.
You have champions if you want to play superheroes.
Yeah.
Champions is essentially the background idea from when they created City of Heroes.
Well, how about gay midget wrestling? Quick, give me a good one.
Sweet, man. Oh,
that would be the new Scott Johnson game that's coming out next month at all your local hobby shops.
Be there or be square.
Scott Johnson.
Yeah, I think you're right, Chris. I think that's what it's called. Yeah.
Oh, and you know what the slogan of the game is?
What?
We're going to hell.
Oh, man. All right, well, on that note, we're going to wrap up the podcast. Thank you, the listening audience of Extra Life Radio, for tuning in today. Without you, there'd be no show. As usual, we encourage you to participate in the show. Send us your beef calls and get us some email. You'll hear that all mentioned one more time before the show ends. I hope that you do that because we really enjoy having you around. This is all for you. If it wasn't for you, screw it. We got one beef call to play after I'm done. And after that, the show will end. So thanks again. We'll see you guys next show. Might do something later this week. Not sure. You might want to go to digitalstrips.com and check out the review they did of the comic strip from Extra Life. You might find that entertaining as well. And again, thanks. We'll talk to everybody soon and hopefully see you later this week.
Hey, Scott, this is Andrew. I'm calling to you on the road. I'm mobile right now. And came down to the local mall just to check out EB, and there was like a huge crowd of people in there trying to buy the last copies of San Andreas, which EB Games has pulled from all the shelves. And the manager there said that they were told to pull them all yesterday, and that they got these new stickers to put on the old copies, but that sometime within the next month or 2 months, Rockstar will be re-releasing the game where they're supposedly fixing it, like completely going in and removing the code and everything that causes the hot coffee mod. But there was like people in there swamping the place to try to get it. And then on a whim, I decided, well, you know, I heard that Walmart was pulling it too. So I called all the local Walmarts here. They've already pulled them all, as well as the Best Buys and the Circuit Cities in my area, which there's only one of each, but they've also pulled them too. So, it seems like they're actually enforcing this pretty damn heavily. So, just wanted to give you a call and give you the info, at least in my area. See you, man.
Hey, Scott, this is me, Jeff. Just letting you know, I just hit your house with a bottle rocket, but it should be okay. I'm more calling to brag than warn you or anything. And, now I'm shooting Roman candles at you. See ya. Bye.
You've been listening to the Extra Life Podcast. If you'd like to participate, call the Beef Line, 206-350-BEEF, or send us an email, radio@myextralife.com.